This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
On a Monday, an eventful Monday with some things to talk about. I think we'd all agree there are one or two things on the agenda. After all, they did almost murder the Republican nominee for president of the United States. We have a VP, Joe Biden, still grabbing little girls. Everything's uncomfortable and awful right now. We're going to dive into all of that tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin right here, though. I just want to address the larger point of what we've all been digesting since the moment. And I don't have to elaborate what moment we're talking about. Either you watched it live or your phone was blowing up right when it happened. I was sitting down. We were kidless. We were childless, which was wonderful for a couple of days. I was sitting down for a movie with my wife. It was date night. We were in a movie theater. I sit down and all of a sudden my phone is vibrating out of my pocket. And that's when I found out, just the same way you found out. And, you know, one of the reasons people seem so shocked and silent and disoriented when they get in a car wreck or something like that, one of the reasons that happens is even if you hear about car wrecks or you see car wrecks on television, it's not until you're in one that it really becomes real for you. That is what this moment has been for so many people in America, not just on the right, in the middle, some on the center left. Wait till I tell you about a text message I got from a commie. For a lot of people in the United States of America, watching Donald Trump get shot in the head, only by the grace of God live, that was a moment it became real. Now, let's keep in mind, dirty communists have been murdering people in this country for a very, very, very long time. And in recent years, they've been murdering people at a higher rate. Like, look at, now it's real for everyone because it's Trump. He's the one we know. He's the former president. He's the Republican nominee. He's the one you've seen his face on television. It's now he's someone you feel like you know more. But communists have been murdering and hurting people on the right for years now. But when we watched it happen to Trump, when we watched it happen to the guy we know, it became real. And so the conversations we've all had, myself included, afterwards with family and friends, I've been hanging out with people for the last few days, you know, normal people, not political people, even though I'm at the convention now. If I sound different, that's why I'm at the convention. So just so you know, but we've all been having these conversations. Conversations that go something like this. I can't believe this happened. You said anything like that? You heard anything like that? I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this is where we are. I was talking to, it was me and three dudes. We were hanging out, throwing horseshoes, it didn't matter. But one of them said, and this is what he said, and I just want you to think about this, because you probably said something similar. He said at one point, I can't believe we're at a point in time where politicians are getting assassinated, or they're trying to assassinate them. That's what he said. And I'll tell you, it gave me a moment of pause, and here's why. I feel the same way. In my emotional state, I feel the same way. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe we're here. But after I thought about it for a minute, I told him, I said, you know, that's how it's always been. Political leaders, cultural leaders, leaders of any kind being murdered by the opposite side, it has been something we are so blessed by God to be relatively free from here in America. I know not totally free from McKinley to JFK. I know what's happened here, but that has not been the norm here in America. And now a lot of people, you probably already knew this, but a lot of people are waking up and realizing, holy crap, that's us now. This is where we are. This is who we are now. And I don't know if this will help you process all this or hurt you processing all this, but what's something we've talked about a bunch on the show? And I know I got all the emails, Jesse, you said this was coming. You said this was coming. That's not important. Why did I know they were going to do something like this? Remember something. We live in a country where the government is evil. The people are not, and the country is not, but the government is evil. We have evil people who run the country, and I'm not just talking about Democrats, and I'm not just talking about elected politicians. Evil people run this country now. And when you're in a country like that, the people don't want to live under evil. You don't want to live under evil. I don't want to live under evil. Who wants that? Nobody wants that. So the people will eventually rise up. Several people, it won't just be Trump, there'll be many more who come after him. They'll rise up a system disruptor who will take the evil system in place, or the people will think he's going to take the evil system in place and attack it and stop it, because people don't want to live under tyranny and they don't want to live under a corrupt government, and they'll eventually look for some way to stop it, somebody to stop it. And what happens is when you're in these types of governments and these things happen to you, systems bite back. Systems fight back. And they fight back in various ways. But what happened is this went from just you and me talking about it, reading books about it, the Roman Empire, the Japanese Imperial, from us just talking about it, it went from that to being, oh my gosh, we're here? That's who we are? What? How do we deal with this going forward? And we're going to talk about that a ton tonight. I should let you know, probably 5 minutes from now. 5 minutes from now, I'm bringing somebody on. No, not a political analyst or anything like that. We're going to do that all night long. We're going to talk about the shooting and the politics and the fallout and everything else. We'll do all that. But what I wanted on, what I really wanted, because my email was full of technical questions that I have as well. How could this guy be allowed to have the rooftop? How could this happen? What did they miss? What did they miss here? So we're going to bring on our friend of the show. You know him, Green Beret sniper, Marine sniper, Clay Martin. He's going to be the one joining us. And I'm going to be asking Clay a lot of questions, a lot of questions that may be uncomfortable for you. Maybe uncomfortable for me, but I will tell you, we're going to get to more of this after I'm done with Clay. I will tell you, I have many, many, many questions. I don't have details. I don't have answers. And because we live in a corrupt system, because we live in a government where the media lies and the education system lies and the government lies, bureaucracies lie, and everyone's been lying to us over and over and over and over and over again, now we're in a situation where I want answers. You want answers. And here's the pickle. All the people who've been lying to you about every single thing for the last God knows how long, they're the ones who are going to tell you the answers. After they're done investigating everything, they're going to let you know what is true and what is false. So we sit here, we just watched the Republican nominee, and let's be honest, likely next president of the United States of America, come within 2 inches from having his brain splattered all over a stage on high-def TV. You would have witnessed it. Your kids would have seen it, even if you didn't want them to, on social media. And we're in this moment where we wake up and it's, oh my gosh, what happened here? Well, we're going to have a long talk about that, what happened. And we're going to talk about this incident. And we're going to talk about how I'm feeling and how you're feeling about all of it. And we're going to do all that after I ask Clay Martin, you know, Green Beret, Marines, Clay Martin, after I ask him some very pointed questions about protection, Secret Service protection, laxes in communication, malice, negligence. What did we see? Because what we saw is more than just another outrageous, dirty commie trying to kill one of us. What we saw was unacceptable. For it to be 2 inches away from that, unacceptable. I'm going to talk to Clay about it in a moment. Before we talk to Clay about it, I want to do this really quickly. We're experiencing a reality that other people in the world experience regularly. Violence is becoming a way of life now. What do you think they go through in Israel all the time now? All the time. Every day. Imagine waking up every day, going to school, going home. You're on your way to work and, oh, nope, sorry, we have to divert to a bomb shelter because rockets are incoming. Oh, nope, sorry, have to go pull the kids out of school. There's a wildfire raging. We don't have firefighters who can respond to the whole thing. It's in a dangerous area. We have to fight it ourselves. This isn't happening in some book or on some distant planet. This is happening right now in the world. And the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, the IFCJ, what they've got is a pledge that all they're asking is that we sign it. That's really all they're asking for, a signature. And what they're going to do is they're going to take this pledge saying, hey, we're praying for you. And they're going to go turn it in to Netanyahu over there and show them, hey, everybody isn't some dirty commie on TV here in America. There are a lot of people who have you in our prayers. Go to supportifcj.org and sign it, all right? Supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, live from the Republican National Convention. Remember, if you want me, if you need to talk to me, you can't do that, but you can send me an email, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Yes, Jewish producer Chris is getting me all the emails throughout the week, so there's that, but we're going to set all that stuff aside because we have a guest on. You already know him, Green Beret, Marine, Sniper, Clay Martin. He's on here all the time, giving us some knowledge about various things, but he also knows a lot about this kind of stuff that I do not and that you probably do not. And I don't want to talk out of my rear end. I want to talk to Clay. Okay, joining me now, author Clay Martin. I'll introduce you that way, Clay. But for our purposes, you're not an author today. You're a Green Beret and a sniper. Clay, how does some 20-year-old goober, we'll set aside the other things which we can get to, come within 2 inches of taking the former president's head off before he stopped?
Jesse, that's a really good question, and this has gotten worse just over the day as we look at these things. When we agreed to talk about this yesterday, so many more details have come out. This is so bad, but it's amazing. One, it's amazing that somebody got that a kid. It's not like this is Jason Bourne got that close in the first place. But primarily, what I was going to talk about with you, if you're all right with it, is the stuff that we've seen from the sniper angle on this, from the counter sniper angle.
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, also, I wanted to cover this. People were saying initially this kid missed because of the wind or the divine wind saved Trump. It's not that it at all. That's not it at all. I ran that through the ballistic computer today, and even a worst case scenario, saying he was carrying a normal AR that shoots 223 rounds and like the cheapest ammo that you could feed it, a 10-mile-an-hour wind only makes a 2.3-inch difference at that range, at 135 yards. So it was not the wind that that saved him, which is pretty wild. Now, primarily looking at especially at the snipers on the roof that we saw the video of, which now that we've done this for a while, I don't even think those two actually engaged. I don't know if they ever saw the guy or if they ever got a shot off. It doesn't look like it. But people were asking what was going on with those guys. You see the one guy come off of his scope and then try to get back on it and then try to bounce in and find a target. My thoughts on this there is that likely this, we also don't know if that was Secret Service or if it was a local cop, but either way, odds are pretty good that he's never shot somebody before. So that's actually not that abnormal of a reaction to come out of the glass. It's like a thing you can't train through, just to come out of the glass to confirm what you realize. Because even a rifle scope offers a kind of a mechanical disconnection. So it's kind of a like an impulsive reaction.
Now, hold on. What's that mean? What's that mean, Clay? A mechanical disconnection?
It means that even though it's just a piece of glass, it's just a magnifying piece of glass, you can start to feel like things are surreal in that scope. And it's kind of, it's like an inborn natural reaction. You know, you see people like pull their night vision goggles up, like they can see any better in the dark. It's kind of the same thing with a rifle scope. Sometimes when people are really surprised, they will come out of the scope because they just instinctively want to see with their natural eye. It sounds kind of dumb, but it is a thing that happens. More often than not, though, you see that happen after they shoot, not before. But it's not impossible that it happened before. So that was number one that kind of looked at. It kind of looks weird if you're just watching the video, but it's at least a plausible explanation for it. The second thing that I don't think a lot of people have given a lot of value to, it's pretty funny. There's actually a roof very similarly sloped to the one where the assassin was at, 140 yards from my backyard. So very, very similar distance. It's very plausible also at that range. When we think about counter sniper guys, they were probably actually looking a lot further away than that 125 yards. That's like eyeball distance. That's like, you know, the guys with little ARs and stuff are supposed to cover that. So it's very plausible if they were actually looking a lot deeper. And when they had to try to get back on that target that's so much closer, a high-powered optic offers a very narrow field of view. It actually gets worse the closer you are to an object. So something that was like 100 yards, you've got about a 6-foot field of view. I think that's what took those two so long to try and get back on target up on that roof.
Okay, and then now let's pause on that for a second, Clay, because I'm trying to understand. I just want to understand from a sniper's perspective and counter-sniping perspective. You say they're looking further. I understand that. But if you're looking further, doesn't that mean you have at least some assurance or assumption that closer has been secured, right?
No, that's exactly right. That was exactly mostly because, I mean, that's an absurd distance to be looking for somebody with your, you know, 6.5 Creedmoor and a 25 power scope. You would never think in your wildest dreams that somebody's going to pop up that close. Like, it should be impossible. It's just not done.
Okay, and that brings me to maybe the most uncomfortable question, and I may end up having to cut you off here because we're going to go to break, but don't worry if I have to cut Clay off, which I'm sure I will. We're going to come back. I'm going to keep him on because I want to hear from him. Clay, there's been a million theories, and I don't know what to believe. I don't know whether we're dealing with negligence, incompetence, malice, and I've ruled out nothing so far. I've ruled out absolutely nothing. Clay, how does anybody get a rooftop position 148 yards from the former president of the United States of America and squeeze off what we think are five shots? How does that happen, Clay?
It doesn't.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It absolutely doesn't. Never in my wildest dreams would I think somebody could be that close on a rooftop. Like, that's different than, like, you know, some sneaky guy stuff and, you know, moving shingles or something like that. This is a knucklehead laying on the roof 125 yards away. I'm a little flabbergasted by that myself. It should be impossible. There is no way that should be able to happen.
Okay, so you undoubtedly have been involved in some protection detail stuff. In fact, I'm gonna pause here because I'm gonna want Clay to elaborate further when we get back. But I'm sure Clay has done a bunch of protection work. Just guys, pipe hitters like that always end up doing that kind of stuff, or at least advising on that kind of stuff. I want to dig into it with him, how that might happen, what possibly went wrong there, or what are we dealing with? That's what a lot of us want to know, and I want to know, and we're going to talk to Clay and get what he says about it. Before we talk to Clay, I know what you're probably thinking right now. Oh, gosh, my back hurts. That's what you're thinking, isn't it? Like, everyone goes through pain. People have daily pain. Don't think if you have it, that's abnormal. And don't think if you have it, you have to live with it. That's a lie. That's a dirty lie. You do not have to live with pain every day. Relief Factor is there. Relief Factor is natural, drug-free. And it's not just, oh, I'll just mask it a little bit. It helps support your body's natural response to pain. You don't need to live with it. You need to make a phone call. You take Relief Factor every day. After 3 weeks, watch that pain go bye-bye. 3 weeks, that's all I'm asking. Try it for 3 weeks. If it didn't work for you, dump it. Never call them again. 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. The stuff works. It's friggin' miraculous. Call them, okay? Clay Martin, next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, reminding you about a half hour from now, we are going to do Medal of Honor Monday. Nothing changes just because we're live here at the RNC. Just being a celebrity, you know, it's all I know how to do. Joining me now, my friend Clay Martin, in case you're just now joining us, Green Beret, Marine, Sniper, asking Clay some technical questions about what we see and specifically didn't see at that Trump rally, the failures, or maybe something worse. Okay, Clay, so if you're protecting somebody, like the Secret Service, whoever, local, protecting somebody, there is an advanced team that goes forward, more than 5 minutes before the event starts to identify vulnerable areas, correct? I am correct about that?
Well, you know, as long as you bought, like, you know, security that didn't come from Walmart, yes. Yeah. $1,000 free security, right? That's a good one. Yeah, no, that's part of the game. And honestly, one of the weirder things about this venue that they're at, especially the direction the shooter was in, I haven't gotten to walk the ground yet. In fact, we may go up there and actually look at the ground. But even if you pull up Google Earth, put it in 3D mode, you see that the area where Trump's stage was, all the stuff that we see, is on a hilltop that's actually kind of flat. It's actually a little bit of a bowl up there as well. So realistically, there's only one direction that the shots can come from, like outside the venue. But when you zoom that out a little bit, it actually gets a lot worse than most of the graphics that we've seen of like a single rooftop. There are half dozen or more rooftops, that little complex. There's no way you could ignore that. In fact, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's pretty good plausible reporting right now that the shooter was actually on top of the building that the local SWAT team was staged in.
What? Okay. All right. So, Clay, if there's only one direction where he should come from, ideally, what would you do? Would you have a counter-sniper team trained at that rooftop? Would you flat-out put a man or two men on the rooftop itself? What would be the normal thing to do that obviously wasn't done, but what would be the normal thing to do?
Doesn't have that complex is set up. It would normally be at least three teams of two. There's a lot of roofs over there. Normally at least three teams of two. Part of the reason you do that teams of two is it's readily identifiable that it's still your guys. All right, that way else you don't get like one guy is, you know, throat cut, another guy with multi-cam standing there with a sniper rifle all of a sudden. But yeah, minimum like six dudes walking on the roofs in that area. And the other crazy thing is if you're standing on the ground in that parking lot, you can't see the stage. The ground's in the way. So being up, the roof is the only place that they could go and have any type of effect. You literally could not be on the ground looking for things. It's ridiculous. To be honest with you, Jesse, I've never seen failure like this. This is absurd.
Okay. Now, that's what I wanted to nail down on now. You know this world in ways that I certainly don't, in ways nobody in the audience really does. There'll be a couple guys who will, but the Secret Service. I know everyone loves to be, you know, pro Secret Service, and I love the Secret Service, and I get all that. Let's get past all that and get to reality. Is this historically a very capable organization, or is it one that we have built up into something that it's not? Help me understand if we're seeing a brand new degraded Secret Service, or they've always just kind of sucked and we've gotten lucky.
That's actually my take. I think they've been very professional in the past. I've known several guys that were in the Secret Service that were, you know, incredible dudes. And that was kind of like, that was normal for the service. I think we've seen a degradation of the force over the last 3 to 5 years. And I've never seen a failure like this. I've never seen anything like this. I would be terrified if I was a public figure in the Secret Service that we have today was tasked with protecting me.
Okay, so tell me, and it's me, buddy. You can give it to me right between the eyes. Tell me why Trump shouldn't dismiss his Secret Service protection and go with exclusively private security. Honestly, at this point, Clay, I'm worried. Whether it's negligence, something worse. Tell me, is that crazy? Is that stupid? Is it the only way to go? Tell me.
The only advantage he has, I would hire some private security to come with me. The only advantage the Secret Service has that a private security company is not is force of law. So there are certain things the Secret Service can do because they have badges and things like that. I would want to keep them, at least a few of them, around to exercise those privileges. But I would be hard pressed to keep my detail of most of these Secret Service guys right now. It would be worth the money to have some pros.
Okay,
and, Secret Service guys.
Okay, and yeah, no doubt. Okay, in local law enforcement, obviously the Secret Service is going to be supplemented wherever it goes by local law enforcement, county sheriff, city police, things like that. Those guys are getting a bunch of crap, and maybe some of that is justified, but we're talking about a town of 13,000 people. I don't necessarily assume a cop in a town of that size is going to have the training that he would need, but maybe I'm just in a really generous mood. Clay, what say you?
It's going to be very, very rare. Usually a town of that size is not even going to have a dedicated SWAT team of its own. It's going to have a bunch of guys that's a secondary duty for. I've also heard that the Pennsylvania State Police SWAT team was supposed to be there as well, but we're not. That's a level of competence. Okay, you know, we can really lean on these guys. Trying to fall back for, especially a former president's security on, you know, I hate to be that guy. It's not like they're bad at their jobs. It's just that somebody that's not a full-time SWAT dude is not going to have the same ability when it comes to personal protection that team is going to have.
Do you have anything to say about the agents surrounding him? I've seen a lot of people blasting away. How did it take so long? Why did he not get off the stage earlier? Or and I've heard other people say, oh, it's understandable. They can't be right there on top of him. What says Clay Martin?
I've given that one a lot of slack just because those are professional, you know, protection professionals, whereas monkeys like me, it's usually a secondary duty too. We can do it, but it's not our primary gig. The same way the Secret Service guys can kick doors if they need to. It's not their primary gig. I wouldn't go so far as to say that it took too, maybe they should have rushed him a little faster, but again, I'm not going to throw too much shade at them just because that's not my primary duty.
Okay. Clay Martin. Clay, by the way, what is your latest book? I can't even keep track anymore now that you're a full-blown big-shot author.
A new one just came out, Barbarian Spirit.
Barbarian Spirit. How about that? Go pick up everything the guy writes, fiction and nonfiction. Clay, my man, I appreciate you as always. Thanks for coming on, making us a little smarter. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate you, brother.
All right. Now, we need to address something that has been all over the news. It's been all over the left. It's been all over the right. Calls for unity. Calls for peace. You can't go 5 seconds now without some goody-two-shoes on the left or goody-two-shoes on the right talking about, well, this is why we need to change the rhetoric. This is why we need to tone things down. Things need to tone down. That's what you probably heard, a ton of that. And, of course, it couldn't possibly be more self-serving than it is in the media.
For anyone out there who has a platform, who thinks the moment right now is to be political and attack the other party, you are feeding into the danger. You are making it more likely there's retaliation. I'm incredibly scared. I'm scared for journalists. I'm scared for people who have public platforms of all parties.
I'm scared for journalists. That's classic. That was Jen Psaki, I should know. And there's a quote. Before we go to break here, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this. Then we'll get to Medal of Honor Monday. But there's a quote by the dude who wrote Dune. It's this old quote. His name's Frank Herbert. But I would just want you to brew on this during the break. We'll come back and we're going to chat about it. The quote is this. When I am weaker than you, I ask for freedom because that is according to your principles. When I am stronger than you, I take away your freedom because that is according to my principles. We're about to have a very uncomfortable conversation about unity, peace, toning down the rhetoric, and other things. Before we get to that, you may need to chalk up for this one, because this is going to be hard for people to hear, a lot of people. It's going to be very hard for people to accept. So, look, it's okay if you're not quite there yet. All you need is a male vitality stack from Chalk or a female vitality stack. You need to get those T levels up so you can handle hard truths like the ones we're about to say, truths that kind of make you wince a little bit. Chalk has an endless, endless selection of natural herbal supplements. They're also hardcore anti-communists. You won't hear anybody at Chalk talking about unity today. go see what they have. If you have questions, if you, I'm not sure about this, what about that? Because they have so many different things. Call them, text them. They'll help you. 50CHOQ3000. That's 50CHOQ3000. You better chalk up before we get to the next segment. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I need to announce already right now that there's been a slight change in plans, and you're going to have to get used to this for about the next 4 days, okay? For 4 days, we're broadcasting from the RNC, and I just need to explain. There's a convention center, and then there's a separate building where they put all the huge important celebrities like me. And we're here on this big radio row, and there's all these TV and radio stations, and everyone's broadcasting from here. And then there's all these people running around, and occasionally there are going to be people who I like who walk by, and the producers are going to snatch them up, and they're going to be on the show. This is a long way of me saying Medal of Honor Monday. It's not coming 10 minutes from now. It's probably going to come about a half hour after that, because we're going to be having Senator Tuberville on. Wanted to get his take on it. He's someone I know, someone I like. So we're going to talk to him, and then we'll get back to Medal of Honor Monday. I will not miss it. I give you my word, Scout's Honor, even though I wasn't a scout, they would never let me in. Scout's Honor, I will not miss it. All right? Now, did you marinate on that quote during the break? Here it is again for those who missed it. It's an old quote from Frank Herbert. He's the dude who wrote the Dune books, which actually I've never read, but I hear they're good. When I am weaker than you, I ask you for freedom because that is according to your principles. When I am stronger than you, I take away your freedom because that is according to my principles. You've seen many people all over the left, a couple on the right, all over the left, calling for unity now. Hey, peace. They calm down. Hey, let's calm down. Let's do peace. Hey, let's not make this political.
I'm not going to politicize this moment. We are not going to politicize this moment. It is wrong to politicize this moment.
Why is she saying that? That's the most important question. Why is she saying that? These are people who love to politicize everything. Everything. These are the exact same people. If some nut job walks into an elementary school and massacres 30 kindergartners, these people will silently cheer and then run to the cameras 5 minutes later to grab for guns and politicize it and blame Republicans. And that's how they operate every single minute of every single day. But now, hey, we're not going to make it political.
I'm not going to politicize this moment. We are not going to politicize.
Why? Well, let me explain why. One, unity, peace. Those are great things, don't get me wrong. But the way they're being used by everyone right now, it's just a bumper sticker. It's just a slogan. I reject everybody, left and right, calling for unity or peace or any of these things unless you attach to that a plan to achieve said unity or peace. Otherwise, all you're doing is trying to quiet things down. Quiet and peace are not the same thing. They never have been. They never will be. If my youngest son walks into his older brother's room and grabs one of his favorite toy guns and runs out of the house and runs out back and snaps the toy gun in two, and my oldest son goes after him, and we walk out and we catch him wrestling and fighting and arguing in the backyard over the stolen toy gun, I will probably want to know what happened. But my wife, guaranteed, she would have the instinct to do what? Hey, stop fighting, guys. Quiet down. Hey, no more yelling. Hey, don't hit him. Hey, no. But that's not solving the problem. There is a problem. a problem. Somebody was done wrong, and now there must be a reckoning for what was done wrong. So they can stop screaming, they can stop punching, they can stop kicking, they can stop yelling, but that in no way has brought peace. It brought quiet. It brought quiet temporarily, but that ain't peace. Don't you dare be dumb enough to listen to this and think a single one of these people desire unity or peace with you.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat.
The same people you just heard, and I could have let that play for minutes, are now out there today pretending to want unity or peace. Why? And I'll tell you why. Because yet another scumbag, dirty street commie in this country operated off the orders that he thinks he was given, or possibly even was, by the elite commies in this country. And now they look bad. They look terrible. Now they all look awful for all the rhetoric they use all the time. Trump's a Nazi. MAGAs are Nazi, threat to democracy, threat to the foundation of democracy, domestic terrorists, over and over and over and over and over again. And they pushed another one of their little vile demons over the edge, and he acted on the words that he was told over and over and over and over again. I need to point out,
MAGA Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights and economic security, they're a threat to our very democracy.
He is a threat to the rule of law in America. That's, to me, that's what this election is.
The evil elite communists did what they've always done. They repeated ad nauseum that you are a threat, you are a danger, Trump is a Nazi, Trump is Hitler, and some young nut job decided to act on that. And the only reason any of them are calling for peace right now is they want you to back off. They're on their heels. They look bad. And right now, they're running to the cameras, and they can't call for unity and peace fast enough. But if the shoe was on the other foot, not a single one of these people would have the tiniest desire for any unity or peace with you at all. These people would toss you a brick if you were drowning in the deep end. You better believe it. So no. No to unity, no to peace, until you tell me why. Why should I desire unity with you murdering pieces of trash? I reject it. I reject all peace offerings, period. End of story. I'm all fired up now. I want to keep going. All right, we're going to talk to Senator Tuberville next, and we have Tudor Dixon after that, and I'm going to keep going on this after that, after Medal of Honor Monday. Before I get to any of that, I just want you to know that I did travel with my MyPillow. I'm officially that person. And I didn't even check a bag. Did you know that? But you know that, you know, MyPillow has travel pillows too. They have it all. Did you know you can get a two-pack of multi-use MyPillows right now for $25? A two-pack. They have a $25 extravaganza sale going on. Take advantage of that in this freaking economy. Everything's so daggone expensive. So when they put a laundry list of things out there that are cheap, gosh, take advantage of it. And it's all MyPillow stuff, so you know it's great. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square. Use the promo code Jesse or call 800-845-0544. Senator Tuberville, next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.